Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Cortland Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Cortland Economics Report.
Everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Gordon Chad here, your host for the weekend edition, also your host throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, the KE Report. It was another pretty busy week of interviews, kind of balanced out with a lot of market commentary and some company updates scattered throughout. On this weekend show, we're going to focus a lot on the resource sector, talk about some of the recent news that has come out of the sector, and also very much look at it from the general investing angle, especially carried over to the stocks, because I know that a lot of us, a lot of you, follow these stocks, invest in the stocks, and, well, broadly, we all hope that I think these stocks can start moving higher rather than this grinding downward trend that we have seen. That ties us into our first topic, and it also ties us into our first guest here, Matt Geiger, managing partner at MJG Capital. Matt, as I just mentioned, look, a lot of these stocks in the resource sector continue to struggle. A lot of the commodities, mostly range-bound, but in a broad sense, this, at least when it comes to the stocks, do you think that we are in a bear market, a longer-term bear market, or is this broadly just a painful correction that we're all seeing?
Well, good to be joining you, gentlemen. Good morning. And man, it has been absolutely brutal out there. You know, the MJG fund hung in there very well through much of the year. We were up a little bit over 16% through mid-year, which was the last performance update for our LPs. And through the end of July, we're neck and neck with the S&P. So I was quite pleased with performance over that period. But I must say the past 3.5 months have just been very, very painful. And I know any of us that are exposed to this space, absent maybe a pure uranium bulls, are feeling that pain as well. You know, anytime that you have a drawdown of this magnitude over a multi-month period, you know, it's worth examining one's assumptions, and I think it's a fair question to ask. You know, for commodities generally, are we in the midst of a bull market and experiencing a correction? Or could this be the start of a secular bear, you know, the likes that we saw between 2011 and 2015? It's not a pretty concept to envision, but I think it's important to keep oneself intellectually honest. So this has been something that I've been, you know, thinking about in recent weeks, but I land in the same place. As ugly as it is, particularly in the junior patch, but really across metals equities generally, I do feel strongly that this is a correction, and we remain in the midst of a multi-year commodity bull run, as hard as it may be for some of your listeners to believe. There are really four factors that lead me to this conclusion. The first you touched on already is metal prices. If you remember going back to the depths of, you know, 2014, 2015, the depths of the last, you know, serious commodities bear market, we had gold in the toilet, among as well as the equities. So there was no differential there. In this environment, there's a huge disparity between physical metal prices and what we're seeing amongst the metal producers, and then all the way down to the junior patch. I mean, heck, we have gold just 5% off of all-time highs. Back in 2014, 2015, it was almost 50% off all-time highs, you know, flirting with $1,000 per ounce. We have iron ore well north of $100 a ton. You know, these are not bear market prices by any means. We have copper hanging out pretty comfortably in the mid $3 range. You'll remember just 2.5 years ago in the midst of the COVID 2020 panic, we had copper at least intraday trade below $2 a pound. So from a metal price perspective, the metals are hanging in there quite well. And the signal they're sending is that this is not the beginning of a secular bear. Second point that comes to mind, and this is probably the most important of the bunch, is that we have yet to see a major CapEx boom in this cycle that would generally signify the top of a metal bull market run. You know, looking back over the past couple years, even as, you know, metals have gotten some increased attention in the post-COVID era, we're nowhere near the capital expenditure numbers and on a cumulative basis that we saw in 2011, 2012, and 2013. And I feel extremely confident that before this bull market has run its course, we will see annual CapEx spend within the sector at large well above figures that we saw at the peak of the last bull cycle. And again, these figures are below what we saw in 2011, 2012, and they're not even inflation adjusted. If you inflation adjust the figures we're seeing, we're still well off the highs. So we've not seen that major commitment to new mine builds and in development that you'd expect to see towards the top of the cycle. And so that's a really key point for me. Another one that we've discussed on previous KE report appearances would be the relative valuation of the commodity space writ large relative to other asset classes. You'll remember during the last bull market cycle, the Chinese-driven commodity super cycle, that we saw commodity equities, including oil and gas, in this total, reaching up towards close to 30% of the weighted market cap of the S&P 500. We're nowhere near there in current terms. We're in the mid-single digits as it stands. So we're not seeing outsized weightings of commodity equities relative to other financial asset classes, not even close. And then the final point I'll add is the green energy push. I think this is a long-term tailwind for the space, and I believe it's more than just a narrative. Narratives are important as well, but we're seeing real action from Western governments, and that's a new phenomenon over the past 2.5 years. Tens of billions of dollars of financial support, at least being committed towards the space. We've yet to see much of that money flow, but if anything, that's a good thing. It's on its way, and at least some talk from regulators about tweaking things on the permitting side to make development stage projects be able to turn into mines more efficiently and in a more streamlined process. So really, for these four factors, I remain convinced that we're in the right space over the course of this decade. Of course, that doesn't mean that things can't get, more ugly in the immediate term here. But my confidence is unwavering in terms of where we are in the cycle.
So, Matt, you made a couple comments that I do want to touch back on, but one more so than anything is that the funding environment for green energy seems to be better, but not a whole lot of that money that governments have allocated has been put to use, but the funding environment for, let's say, precious metals, even into copper, it doesn't seem like there's a market there. And does this change anytime soon simply because this is a key aspect for companies to continue to advance projects?
That's right. Well, the government support has been slow moving because that's government for you. Governments are slow moving. But you're right. Across the metal complex, and again, going to the junior space, these companies have been forsaken, both on the retail side of things and in terms of larger companies stepping down. There are a few notable exceptions. Maybe we can touch on Hercules Silver and their deal with Barrick in a little bit. But I, at this point in the cycle, I was expecting significantly more support from the major mining companies coming downstream and providing capital for the next generation of discoveries and the higher quality development projects that, have a stone's throw chance of making it into production during this cycle. We've really yet to see that in mass. I think that's coming. I'm very confident that's coming. So that's another tailwind that we have to look forward to in the coming years. But it's just not there at the moment. So there's a real gap in the market. There are the royalty and streaming companies out there. They're providing capital. But a lot of juniors, understandably, are leery of taking on a royalty and encumbering their assets, or later stage development projects taking on a stream and encumbering their assets. I do think there is a niche for private equity here. You've seen Appian Capital be quite active here in recent months, and they've recently raised a $3 or $4 billion fund that is going to be deployed. So maybe we'll see royalty and streaming and private equity somewhat plug the gap in the immediate term here.
Yeah, we will need to see. But unfortunately, Matt, we are out of time for this segment. But we're having you back on next segment, so everyone stick around. We'll be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans. Nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. We are continuing to chat with Matt Geiger, managing partner at MJG Capital. Matt, let me ask you a more direct question about your fund. What have you been doing recently? Because when we've had you on earlier this year, it didn't sound like you were deploying any capital. Has that changed for MJG Capital?
Yeah, good question. It's actually shifted quite markedly since our last conversation, which I believe was mid to late September. So I actually did envision pain in the junior mining space this year, which is why we didn't add a single new position to our portfolio. Believe it or not, between late January of this year all the way until early October. So we're talking nearly 9 months. That's by far the longest period that we've gone without adding a new position to the portfolio. We, of course, were dollar cost averaging into some positions, you know, trimming others, selling others outright. So I remained active over the period. We weren't deploying capital into new names. Additionally, and I've been quite vocal about it, you know, we're keeping a double-digit cash position. In hindsight, I wish it was closer to 30% than in the low teens, but at least keeping some powder dry for an envisioned pullback. But what I didn't envision was seeing the broader markets hang in there to the extent that they have, and yet the juniors suffering to their current extent. My concern throughout the entire year was broader cracks in the financial system and in other asset classes reflecting poorly on the juniors and creating a liquidity event. That has simply not happened. Broader markets have hung in there remarkably well, and yet the juniors have suffered. So, you know, I got to a decision point, you know, late September, early October, where this drawdown had occurred amongst the juniors, and yet the broader market had not cracked. So it was a bit of a tough decision, but I've learned over the years that when sentiment is at rock bottom, as it is currently, and when prices are cheap and when opportunity is plentiful, even if it doesn't feel comfortable, it's worth plugging one's nose and deploying capital. So even though we have not seen the cracking of the broader markets, starting in early October, we deployed most of our dry powder. So we've done three separate deals between the first week of October and just last week. So we've aggressively deployed just in the past 6 weeks here. You know, time will tell whether or not this was the right decision. It's quite possible that we jumped the gun and we see the broader market, you know, collapse next month. And in hindsight, it would have been better to keep that dry powder dry. But again, the opportunities that were crossing my desk were too good to pass up. We were in the depths of tax loss selling. And so, you know, I made the choice to get aggressive. And we're now, from a cash perspective, in the, you know, mid to low single digits as it stands. So from my perspective, that's a marked shift in posture from where we were just a few months ago.
All right, Matt. Well, since you're starting to deploy your capital, three deals since October, can you share with us any details on these deals that are getting you more active?
The money question there. I'm happy to share one of them. They were all initiated through private placements. The one that's probably most topical as it stands is Talisker Resources. That's a name that you're probably well familiar with their Brailorn mine in British Columbia. It's a name we've never owned. It's a name I've followed closely for a number of years. I have a lot of respect for their CEO, Terry Harbert, who's one of the better respected geologists globally, frankly, very, very solid guy. And I've watched the Talisker share price, you know, unfortunately for existing shareholders, fall close to 85% between its highs in early 2021 to the level where they conducted their most recent placement in mid-October. The deal valuation there was $25 million Canadian. You know, Talisker itself in the past few years have put $50 million into the ground at their project, so you're getting it at 50 cents on the dollar from what they've spent. And that doesn't count the significant investment in infrastructure and drilling that had occurred at these series of assets before Talisker took the reins in the Brailorn district. And then additionally, another, you know, data point from a valuation perspective, Talisker earlier this year struck a pretty interesting deal with Sprott Royalty and Lending, where they, in essence, sold up to a 4% royalty, which, again, is a healthy royalty, no question, on Brailorn. But instead of selling it all at once, they have the option to draw down Sprott's money in tranches. So they've only drawn a couple tranches. The company's plan is to not draw down any more of that royalty to keep it at a more manageable level, closer to 2%. However, they have that in their back pocket. And were they to access all of that capital and go up to a 4% royalty tomorrow, that would bring in a cumulative $55 million into Talisker's bank account. So that's another data point relative to where the valuation of the deal took place. So we'll see. There's execution risk here. Talisker's going into production mid-next year at their Mustang mine. They're fully financed for that. And I think if they're able to execute on that, they'll be well rewarded. So this is quite simply just a bet on quality people at a cheap valuation. And I think it's worth noting that Terry and the management team stepped up pretty big in the financing. And additionally, there was open market buying in the weeks before the financing for the first time in quite a while for the company. So it seemed like the right time to take a stab at this. And, you know, we'll learn more over the next 9 months of whether that was the right decision or not.
Matt, I appreciate you breaking down some of the thought process and the rationale behind your new position in Talisker. And I think it would be fun to discuss something you brought up earlier in the call, and that's Hercules Silver, in the sense that it's a story that's really trending right now. It's a story getting traction with investors because of a new discovery that they have made underneath the silver deposit. And so Hercules Silver traded under the ticker BIG. But it's really gotten people's attention going because Barrick has come in as a partner. And when you see a major come in and vet a project, you know they probably have seen the drill core and they put their stamp of approval on it. Not a huge position for Barrick, but meaningful for Hercules Silver. What's your take on, I guess, some of the only excitement that we're seeing in the resource sector right now?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I mean, especially over the past 5 or 6 weeks, absent anything uranium-focused, this has been one of the few names that's actually been bringing joy to junior investors. And I should caveat it, we don't have any direct exposure to Hercules. But it's really exciting from my perspective for a few reasons. The first is that, I mean, this is what we love about the junior space. I understand it's extremely risky at this stage. I mean, we're talking a $300 million market cap as of this morning on the back of a single drill hole. But it's just amazing seeing a company go from a silver-focused junior to now, you know, having control of what's one of the most exciting copper discoveries in the world. So there's kind of the allure of value creation on the back of a single drill hole. And, you know, this exemplifies why we love this space. The other thing I find interesting about it, you know, it pertains to Idaho writ large. You know, conventional geological opinion here for many decades now is that Idaho is not a place to look for copper porphyries. It's been entirely written off.
Well, unfortunately, we are out of time for this segment on the radio. So everyone listening on the radio, if you want to hear that full discussion with Matt Geiger, please visit our website or podcast. We also talk about another M&A transaction that happened within the sector. We are going to be right back, continuing to focus on the resource sector with Joe Mazumdar.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
News update.
We're working side by side to combat arms trafficking.
As illegal aliens continue to walk right into our country from Mexico, President Biden sitting down with the president of that country for a one-on-one meeting. USA's John Schaefer now with details.
President Biden sat down with the president of Mexico Friday during a bilateral meeting in San Francisco.
Nothing is beyond our reach, in my view.
Biden said the two nations are collaborating to tackle long-standing migration issues and combat the trafficking of fentanyl. fentanyl.
Now, as for the potentially deadly fentanyl pouring in over the southern border, Secretary of State Antony Blinken says China reportedly has agreed to a crackdown.
Not only did they publish a notice to all of their companies that this is forbidden, this is going to have a clear and positive impact on communities across our country.
Blinken sitting down with ABC News. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In these final two segments, we are joined by Joe Mazumdar, publisher and editor of Exploration Insights. Now, Joe, we're going to use a pretty big M&A transaction that was announced at the very beginning of this week as a jumping point to discuss the overall environment for mostly precious metals development or just, let's say, more advanced companies. We are going to follow up on that Calibre taking over Marathon Gold. Now, again, this was released, the news, on Monday. I know a lot of the Marathon Gold shareholders not overly happy with this deal because, well, quite frankly, the sales price really came off of lows that we haven't seen share price-wise since back in 2017, but it did seem like Marathon Gold building the Valentine Gold Project in Newfoundland, they were dealing with cost overruns, and it seemed like they were kind of running out of money. Joe, from a high-level aspect, can you just recap what you think some of the key points are for not just investors in these companies, but investors in the precious metals sector to understand what's going on with these development companies and how hard it is to be building mines at this time?
Yes. Okay, so the Valentine Gold Project, I visited it more than 10 years ago, I think. Big open pit, low to moderate grade, you know, so we've had the Maginos and the Cotes and also now more recently Hard Rock being built in Ontario. And this is sort of a similar big open pit gold deposit. You know, an example of, you know, how hard it is to raise capital. This is, you know, in a decent jurisdiction and that, you know, semi-remote. But, you know, it needed a stream to help it raise money. You know, I think it had originally some debt from Sprott lending, which they pulled later. So, you know, they've had some issues with raising capital, and I believe now building the projects, you know, just typical of projects nowadays, you know, they need more money. But as we know, you know, where they are at, the entire market's very weak. So it's always been weak for development stories. And so their ability to raise money to fund the project for any overruns is very difficult. So their cost of capital is very high to raise any more capital to fund the project. And so, you know, if you look at it, enter a company that's willing to buy the project and buy the company basically for the project and offer them shares, equity. And so it does give the shareholder of Marathon a potential out in this market, a liquidity event in a slightly more liquid company to sell their shares. You know, that might be a good thing for Marathon shareholders, but Marathon shareholders also, like I think you said, like this is trading, even though they got a premium, it's a premium off of like a multi-year low. So that would not make them happy, but I think what would make them less happy is if that company went to the markets and raised another $50 million at that multi-year low and diluted the company even more. And that might be one of the reasons that they took this offer. Another reason change of control was favorable for management, and that might also have ticked off some shareholders.
Well, Joe, when you look at the crop of development stage companies out there now, there's some that are advanced, but they're very far away from permitting. And there's other projects that are a lot closer or further down the permitting pipeline, getting closer to construction. And some of them are legitimately thinking they're going to build these projects. It seems like the mid-tiers are kind of that sweet spot where they're making money, you know, even though there's been compression of margins, they're still making money right now. And maybe they've got a little bit better valuation, a better cost of capital. They could be predatory here and go after some of these development companies. But it seems like they're looking at ones that are either production companies or near production. How are you seeing the lay of the land there?
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is that with intermediates, I mean, they're probably highly attuned to working capital preservation or treasury preservation in this market, like we were discussing previously, that's a little bit more U-shaped where we don't know how this is going to end. So they don't want to themselves have to go back to the markets if something happens. And so they're probably less willing to allocate cash. So any transactions that we see, just like this one, will be equity, you know, but still it's probably good for them because for a Calibre or a B2 Gold that bought Sabina or an Aura that bought Gold Standard Ventures or for Hecla that bought the project in the Yukon that I forgot, they have a lower cost of capital. So for them, it's an accretive transaction that they could make, get another project in their portfolio, and then, you know, use their capital as they see fit. The issue right now is if we look at bigger intermediates, not necessarily Calibre or Calibre, they may also be waiting for the Newcrest-Newmont merger to finalize, which it just recently did, and see if there's any divesting of producing assets. So a producing asset would be probably something a company like an intermediate might favor because you don't have the development risk, you don't have to potentially permit it, execution risk, all these other things that, and then you don't get production right away versus a producing asset that might not make sense in the bigger company, the merged Newcrest Newmont company, that might be too small. And so there might be right now a tendency just to wait to see what comes out and not commit to a development project that might be cheap in terms of buying, but still require a lot of capital to raise versus, you know, potentially something falling off the truck with the Newcrest Newmont merger.
Quite frankly, we're in a market where it seems like most companies and investors are willing to wait because of the fact of how tough it has been for companies to raise money. When you do see a deal where it's an asset that is partially built, how do you go about diving into and understanding what still needs to be done? If the company that's acquiring that asset is able to build it within budget, within time, how do you go about diving into one of these stories, Joe, where it does seem like the company who's getting taken over kind of got stuck?
Well, the thing is that I would look at it from, you know, who the suitor is and what their previous experience is in operating this kind of a deposit. in this kind of jurisdiction, in this kind of climate. And so for me, like something like Argonaut buying Magino, it didn't make much sense because they usually operate open pit heap leaches in Mexico. And so for them to go from heap leach to building a big milling operation in northern Ontario seemed like a bit of a stretch. And so what kind of comparative advantage does that company have in operating in northern territory, in the northern Ontario with a big throughput mine? I would say not a lot. So that's when you look at Calibre, goes, well, what are they bringing to the party that they think that they could do this better than another company, let's say? And so if they can bring a technical advantage, that'd be great. Like, if you had a company with a refractory gold deposit in Nevada and then Barrick takes them over, that's great, because all that accretes to Barrick because they have all the, most of the facilities to treat refractory ore. If a company really knows how to do, you know, block caving like Newcrest, that makes a lot of sense for them to take over Red Chris, because that company that operated that preferred the open pit and didn't want to go do the block cave, whereas Newcrest had the capital and also had the block caving expertise. So for me, when I look at an M&A, I look at that. I might not be convinced. I know the CEO of Calibre. He used to work at Newmont. He's a very good technical person. But most of his experience, I believe, was Indonesia and, at least in the time I was there for Newmont, and Australia. So working in a climate like Newfoundland, where does Calibre have that comparative advantage? That's what I'd be looking at if I was an investor.
All right, Joe, I think that covers off this deal. You've given us some insights onto what you thought, and actually throughout the week we talked to a couple other analysts and newsletter writers to get their thoughts on this merger. Everyone be sure to listen to those daily editorials that were posted earlier in the week. We are going to be right back continuing to chat with Joe Mazumdar, still sticking to the big focus here, resource stocks.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
In a world where financial landscapes can change rapidly, safeguarding your savings and retirement accounts is paramount. Direct Bullion USA is more than just the number one rated gold bullion dealer in America. We're your trusted partner in navigating the uncertainties of hyperinflation and political upheaval around the world. Direct Bullion USA can provide you with the knowledge and resources to fortify your financial stability and protect what matters most. Call us now at 888-787-GOLD. Precious metals like gold and silver have been a safe haven investment for hundreds of years. Get started when you call Direct Bullion USA at 888-787-4653 and get your free gold investing starter kit today. All it takes is one call to 888-787-GOLD. Take control of your retirement and protect your future with Direct Bullion USA. Call 888-787-4653. That's 888-787-GOLD.
All right, here we are wrapping up the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we're continuing to chat with Joe Mazumdar from Exploration Insights. Joe, we're going to focus still on kind of the M&A in the resource sector, and I want to follow up on something you said in the prior segment when it comes down to jurisdictional diversification through M&A deals or synergies within mines when M&A happens. Which do you prefer?
Well, I prefer both, actually, because diversification is important when you're coming from a different perspective. So if we look at something like Nevsun buying reservoir minerals for, Chucaro Pechi, the Timok discovery, they were coming from Eritrea, a high geopolitical risk area. And so for them going into Serbia was lowering their geopolitical risk. Calibre is coming from Nicaragua, I believe, and they, lowered their geopolitical risk slightly by buying, Pan, and getting a heap leach deposit in Nevada. Now, once they start producing, hopefully at this project in Newfoundland, their jurisdictional risk might flip, and such that Nicaragua would be a much lower part of their net asset value, and so now they won't be discounted as heavily, potentially as being 100% in Nicaragua, just like Nevsun wasn't discounted as heavily once they started getting into Serbia. Like Randgold did very well operating in very high-risk jurisdictions while maintaining a premium in terms of their net asset value. And Bristow has sort of taken that sort of thing and leapt that into Barrick. And so while everybody else is looking in developing or looking at acquiring projects in low-risk jurisdictions, which aren't really that low because permitting development projects in the U.S. is not easy, especially on public land. They go to Pakistan and they're committed to, developing that Reko Diq project. And strangely enough, they have access to capital because a lot of the money right now is in the Middle East. And so the Saudis are more than willing to give them money to build a project right near where they are and for their, future electric vehicle or battery manufacturing complex, diversifies them out of oil. So the market's changing because now it's harder for Barrick to get money from China, which they used to get, with their Zijin partnership. Now just like Friedland's realized, the money right now is in Saudi Arabia, and so you want exposure to that market. And so that's where a lot of, people who know what's happening right now in the financing for projects, they're heading that way.
Well, Joe, just circling back to the development stage companies, when we were at Beaver Creek, the conference, or when we were just in New Orleans, a meeting with companies, there's so many development stage companies that say that their plan is to keep de-risking their project, keep moving it down the pipeline of towards development, and looking to partner with a major or trying to fund it themselves. But there's a big divorce now where these development stage companies are valued for having 1 million, 2 million, 3 million ounces in the ground, and the capex needed to get these things built. So some are looking at streaming and royalties as well, or a massive amount of debt with not so great of terms because interest rates are higher. How do these development companies move forward? How should investors in precious metals development companies proceed?
Well, okay, so when we look at development, I would single out the precious metals projects because definitely their cost of capital right now versus, let's say, a critical mineral like lithium or rare earths, that sort of thing is getting funded by other sources of capital, whether it's car companies, battery manufacturers, or even the government, like the Department of Energy in the U.S. So if we just look at precious metals, their ability to attract funding is much harder. Very, I mean, it's a lot more difficult. And so they really have to have that inclination that they could build the project themselves and they can attract the funding from private equity or somewhere. Because even the debt markets aren't great for companies. It's not easy. But you know, a good project could still potentially attract financing, but it would be very different than the financing we've seen previously. It's not a good market for precious metals development stories. So you need a capital number that can be funded. It's harder to go to the market and say, I need $2 billion or $1.5 billion right now.
Yeah, no kidding. But does that mean that you would rather see companies not move into construction, continue to somehow de-risk assets rather than having to pull the trigger into construction and potentially get stuck with cost overruns and then have to go back to the market, which just ends up crushing the share price?
Yeah, well, here's the problem is that when you're a single asset developer, you know, your whole modus operandi is to build that project. You know, let's say come hell or high water. So financing theory says that if the interest rates are going up at a higher rate than the underlying commodity, you leave the commodity in the ground. That's really what should be happening in some of these projects. Just leave it in the ground and wait. But shareholders don't want to leave it in the ground and wait. They'll sell if there's no news flow. And the problem is for de-risking projects, that news flow is nothing that retail shareholders are interested in. So they tend to avoid development projects, making the cost of capital for them even higher because they might be able to attract funding in some measure. But then, you know, whoever's giving them the money says, okay, how much skin do you guys have in the game? Well, I'm going to have to go back to the equity markets just for that 20%. And that's going to be impossible. Because not only is it going to be highly dilutive, I might not get all the money I think I want or think I need because it's just not there. So that's the problem right now we have in the current market. So we need a big change in sentiment right now for a lot of these development projects in the precious metal sector to be able to fund development.
What do you think about the idea of them bringing in a strategic partner that maybe takes over 50% of the project, maybe even 75 or 80% of the project, but that larger entity funds it through construction for them, and then they have a minority stake? Do you like those kind of partnerships?
So, yeah, in this current market, you know, what Gold Road did with Gold Fields in Western Australia on Gruyere, and then also what Osisko is doing with Gold Fields on their Windfall project, that makes a lot more sense. You get an injection of capital, so that helps you fund your 50%, and then you have an operator. So you don't have to hire all these people that understand either underground mining or logistics or infrastructure, how you get a gas pipeline, you know, whatever. They already have it. So you get that big company sort of operator, and you own 50% of it. And Gold Road's doing quite well, you know, in terms of generating cash flow off of their 50% of Gruyere. Goldfields has never bought the other 50%, which would, you know, technically be the easiest thing to do because you don't have to do any due diligence because you already operate the asset. But, you know, it's still trading at such a a good value that, you know, Goldfields has never felt it in their best interest to acquire the other 50%. And they might have a hold where they can't do it. I don't know. So that definitely does make a lot of sense, definitely in this current market for precious metals companies, because we do see M&A, but a lot more of the M&A is in critical minerals, a lot more of the private placements where companies come in, you know, to say, okay, I'll own 9.9% of the company and I'll fund your drilling program or whatever. That's in critical minerals. You know, Rio Tinto going into Western Copper and Gold, and Mitsubishi as well, into investing in their equity for the casino project in the Yukon. You know, that's happening, but it's, again, critical minerals and not gold.
So, Joe, I guess to wrap us up, are you seeing more opportunities in critical minerals, or is it the gold sector because everything's so washed out? Where are you seeing some of the best opportunities?
Well, I guess in terms of valuation, definitely the gold sector is probably, you know, one everybody should be looking at, but they should be looking at those assets that have an underlying value. It's not a leverage play. It's you want alpha. You don't want the beta stocks, you want alpha, you want those stocks you think can be built, and it's not just about grade, it's about metallurgy, it's about permitting, it's about jurisdiction, all that sort of stuff, because those are the ones that have a higher probability of being taken over, because a suitor can see that, hey, you know, it'll come, it's something I can build myself. So that probably, especially in the development space, makes sense to acquire. But then you have to have a lot of patience and know, you know, if they want to fund any more catalysts, don't demand catalysts, but if they want to fund anything, they might have to go back to the markets, which might not be easy. But you will have to take a multi-year approach to those. That same approach may not be necessary for, you know, a critical mineral project.
Okay. Joe, thank you so much for spending some time with us on this weekend show. It's a pleasure reading over your newsletter. Again, that is Exploration Insights. And everybody, thanks for tuning in on this weekend show. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend. Please keep in touch with us through email, and please go back through our website and podcast to listen to all the daily editorials, market updates, and company interviews. Joe, everybody, hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.